All right. Hey, welcome to Ecclesia tonight. I hope that first little part worked. We tried to ease into things with a song. The song fits with the talk tonight, and it's actually from a CD that our band recorded many moons ago, probably a decade ago now, something like that. Which I guess there's probably a lot of you that go to our church that don't even know that that CD exists. So we probably need to start to get that into people's hands or let them know that they can find it with the Ecclesia band. On iTunes, and it's songs we had forgotten was the name of it. And there's some great, great stuff on there. But welcome to Ecclesia. We are still meeting virtually. We are still practicing social distancing while we are unable to do programs with kids, and not really willing to put our volunteers and folks in any more situations than they need to be in. As we're in the middle of a pandemic. But the good news is that the church is not a building or a time of week. It is not just a place that we meet in person, but it is who we are, and it is what we do, and it is how we love in this world. And so Ecclesia is a non-denominational group that meets in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, typically 5 o'clock on Sunday nights, typically share space with Parkway Heights Methodist Church. But if you just happen to be tuning in, if you're from our area, know that you're welcome to be a part of things. Everyone is welcome at Ecclesia. We are better off with you in the room, or as we've been saying in the pandemic, we're better off with you in the Zoom. And if you're just joining us from wherever around the country, different states, happen to scroll by someone's Facebook timeline or YouTube channel, welcome. We're glad to have you. You're welcome to sit in with us tonight or as often as you'd like. So all the talks that we've been doing over this whole time in the pandemic can be found on our Facebook page with Ecclesia. The last couple can be found on the YouTube channel, which we just started getting going. And so you can always catch up on those. But we are walking our way through the lectionary texts that are kind of marching through the middle of Matthew. We're in the teens right now in Matthew. And so this part of the lectionary really drills down in some areas throughout here. And tonight the story is of Jesus walking on water, which is one of the most common stories of Jesus there is, right? Everyone knows, at least in theory, that Jesus could walk on water. So it's in Matthew 14. And before we got into that, though, I wanted to kind of step back and talk about another story as well that I like to kind of put in tension or comparison or just side by side with this story from Matthew 14, because what we see is two places in Matthew where the disciples are in a boat and a storm comes up and Jesus kind of has to save the day. And there's some similarities and some noticeable differences. And for some reason this week, it just seemed good to me to kind of put those two things together. Before we jump into the text, we'll be in Matthew 8 and then Matthew 14. I do want to remind you that water in the Old Testament and New Testament has some very significant things to it, right? So water has deeper meaning. In like the Hebrew imagination, water often represents chaos or maybe destruction, right? Creation happens by dividing out the water, by kind of going over the chaos and creating land out of it, right? There's the story, of course, of Noah and the great flood, where all the world but Noah and those on the ark are destroyed by water. You have the Exodus, where water plays this major role in it by crossing through the Reed Sea, and the Israelites cross through, and then the sea swallows up their enemies that are pursuing them. And there's this sense of God holding back the chaos and destruction and then letting it go when the enemies are coming after God's people. And so you see these kind of things over and over again. Jonah, there's these images that happen, even poetic texts where the images happen, where water is this kind of big, scary, sometimes destructive thing that happens, right? And even in the New Testament, when we see some positive imagery of water, things like baptism, there's still language of, in baptism, going down with Jesus in death and being raised in newness of life, right? So there's this still the sense that the water is the death and then the rebirth. And so this is a poignant image, and this is symbolism that happens throughout Scripture. And then we have these two places where Jesus shows up in the water, in the storm, in this very potentially destructive time. And so I want to just look through these, and I want to think about for a moment kind of what the storm means for us. I feel like there's probably plenty of people watching right now who feel like they're in the midst of one. So let's just look at it, and we'll go through these texts and see what they have to say to us tonight. Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27 is the first place we see this happening in the Gospel of Matthew. It says this: "Then he got into a boat with a disciple, and his disciples followed him. Suddenly a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, 'You of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, 'What kind of man is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him.'" Right? So you have this situation where the disciples, many of whom are fishermen, pretty accustomed to the water and what may come their way on the water. The disciples are out in the boat. Jesus is sleeping in the boat. This storm comes up fast and violently, which happens a lot in that part of the world and in that area. And I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where this happens, but it could be really scary. I remember we had a family vacation in Montana, and we piled way more people than it should have gone on this one little boat in a boat just to kind of troll around and tour around on this river that we were on. And it was just kind of rock faces up either side of it, right? This is the kind of canyon we were going down, really beautiful. But what it meant was, because we were in this canyon and they would have been in kind of a bowl in the way things were shaped topographically for them, this storm came in and we didn't see it until it was too late, and we were getting thrown all over the place and water was everywhere and we were kind of scared. And when it was done, it was funny because we were all soaking wet, and it's kind of a big family memory for us now, but it's pretty scary when it comes. And obviously what happens here is pretty violent because waves are coming over the ship and even these fishermen are freaking out. And they've had to have seen some bad things before, but even they are completely freaking out. And Jesus is with them in the boat. God is with them, but they're upset and they're frustrated because while he's with them, he's not with them, right? He's sleeping. He's unbothered by what's happening. He's unmoved by it. And they're frustrated with him because they're in the midst of something that he doesn't seem to be feeling with them or appreciating with them, right? And so they wake him up. They're frustrated. Jesus says they have little faith, and he calms the storm. And they're all amazed and say, "Who is this? How could someone do something like this?" Right? And we feel bad for the disciples here because they're freaking out, and they don't need to freak out. They're with Jesus. Jesus will take care of it. And we know that because we're reading the story and we're not the ones getting wet. Right? And Jesus says, "Oh, ye of little faith," and calls them of little faith. And that's something that we go, "Oh, man, I know. That would hurt to have Jesus call you that." And certainly Jesus is trying to make a point here, but we need to also remember that in the New Testament and according to Jesus, a little faith goes a long ways, right? A little faith goes a long ways. And so we'll keep that in mind. So you have this story. This has happened once to the disciples already. And then you fast forward to Matthew 14. And in Matthew 14, a similar situation is happening again, except this time Jesus is not in the boat with them. And it says this in Matthew 14, starting in verse 22, and we'll go through verse 33, I think. Matthew 14, 22 says, "Immediately he made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone." So Jesus separates himself out. We've just gone through the stories of the feeding of the 5,000 and all that. John the Baptist has been killed. He had tried to withdraw by himself already, and there's a crowd waiting for him. He had compassion for them. He helped to feed them. And then here you have Jesus again trying to withdraw by himself. We don't know if it's just in mourning or just typical devotional kind of prayer or whatever, but Jesus withdraws to be by himself. Verse 24, "But by this time the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning he came walking towards them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid. Peter answered him, because it's always Peter. Peter answered him, Lord, if it is you, command me to come walk to you on the water. He said, come. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came towards Jesus. But he noticed the strong wind, and he became frightened. And beginning to sink, he cried out, Lord, save me. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him, saying, you of little faith, why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly, you are the Son of God. So again, you have this violent storm, right? This one doesn't seem to be quite as bad. The storm doesn't seem to be quite as fearful. Maybe they just remember what happened last time. Maybe the waves aren't crashing quite as big as they were in chapter 8. The storm doesn't seem to be as bad, maybe, or they're just used to it at this point. But either way, they aren't scared by the storm. No, they're scared of Jesus, right? Jesus comes walking on the water, and they freak out. Because people don't walk on water. They freak out the same way you would freak out if you saw someone walking towards you on the water. Yes, they've seen some miracles. Yes, they've seen some incredible things, but this is kind of next level for them, right? And they're not sure if it's a ghost. They're not sure if there's evil intentions or good intentions or what's happening. And so they start to freak out, and they cry out. It's hard to recognize Jesus in the middle of the storm. It's hard to recognize Jesus in the middle of the storm, and I think we can all probably relate to that idea. Again, maybe it's a ghost, maybe it's bad news instead of good news coming their way. And as soon as they cry out, Jesus immediately reassures them. He identifies himself, himself and says, do not fear, but Peter's still not convinced, right? And I don't know why, but this is the first time I've read the story in a long time where Peter didn't look quite like a hero as I read it. I've always kind of thought of it as like Jesus walking on the water. The storm is going. He's standing out there and almost like Jesus is waiting for someone to get out of the boat and walk on the water with him, right? In fact, I heard some great sermons, and they're very motivational sermons that were like, get out of the boat, right? Get out of the boat. Go walk on the water. With just a little bit of faith, you can go do these things. God's waiting for you to get out of the comfort of the boat, right? And that'll preach. That'll preach. But this is one of this is maybe the first time where I've read this. And I realize I'm not sure that Peter is necessarily the example, meant to be the example here, right? I've always thought he was really brave, and I guess on some levels he is. He does step out of the boat, right? But that entire encounter comes from a lack of trust. Jesus says, it's me. Jesus says, do not be afraid. And Peter says, I need more proof, right? If it's really you, prove it. I want to walk on water too. Do something more miraculous than you're already doing. Do something more, and then I'll believe it, right? So the whole scenario of him getting out and walking on the water, that really originates from his lack of trust. Peter is unconvinced. He doubts that it's really Christ. He wants proof right now. He gets the proof. He steps out. He starts to walk on the water, and then he begins to doubt again and begins to sink. And as soon as he cries out, Jesus is there to lift him up and save him and then calm the storm when they get in the boat, right? And then in this situation, unlike in chapter 8, Jesus once again says, oh, you of little faith, but he's only speaking to Peter, right? Which that part always kind of bothered me because it's like, you feel like Peter would be like, me of little faith, I'm the only one that walked on the water. I'm the only one that got out of the boat. But remember, the reason why he got out of the boat, the reason why this whole part happened is because he doubted. He didn't believe, right? And so again, he's told that he has little faith. Why did he doubt? Again, remember, according to Jesus, a little faith goes a long ways, right? So don't take this rebuke too harshly. So what do we take from these stories? We have these two stories of storms, of Jesus calming the storms, Jesus being present and not present in different ways in the midst of the storm. And for some reason, both of these stories kind of hung together with me this week, and I was trying to think about how we talk about this. And one of the first things I thought about was, I think they demonstrate the fact that just the plain fact that there will be storms, right? And this is preaching to the choir now. We're in a pandemic. We're parents who are trying to figure out whether or not to send their kids back to school. We are trying to protect our parents and grandparents from sickness. We're trying to wear masks where we can and not go and do the things we want to go and do in order to try and protect other people. And we're reading our Facebook feeds and seeing conspiracy theories and getting hammered on all sides. Like, it's stormy out there. It's stormy out there. And the truth is, in the storm, storms are disorienting. It's hard to get our bearings in a storm, and it's hard to find God in the storm. In both these stories, God is not kind of showing up in the way that the disciples expect and or want, right? In both of these stories, God is with them. In one story, Jesus is literally in the boat. He's just not acting the way they want him to act. He's with them. He's there. He's in the storm. He's just not living up to their expectations. And it's hard to find God in the storm when God's not living up to your expectations, right? In the other story, he's not in the boat with them. He comes walking on the water, and they're more scared of him than they are the storm. And sometimes Jesus is in the boat, and sometimes Jesus is in the storm. And sometimes he's acting the way we think he should, and sometimes he is not. Sometimes the storm itself is the thing that's scaring us. And sometimes trying to find God or understand God or decipher God in the storm is far more scary than the waves themselves, right? There might not be a more frightening thing on the planet than God showing up in unexpected ways. When I've got it figured out, when I know how God should think and how God should act and what God should do, particularly in difficult situations, and instead God shows up someplace else in some other way doing something I don't expect, maybe don't even want. It's scary stuff, right? Storms are going to happen. You may be going through a storm right now. The thing that I regret about the way I've read these stories in the past is that I always interpreted them in such a way where the disciples kind of came out the losers, right? The people to be pitied. Those of just such little faith. They were almost bad news stories instead of good news stories. And as I read through them again this week, and as I thought through them again this week, I don't think they're intended to be bad news stories. I think these are good news stories. Because the truth is, there are storms. And the truth is, at different days, at different times, sometimes different times in the same day, I'm reacting, you're reacting to storms very differently. Sometimes you hunker down, right? Sometimes you grab onto the side of the boat and you close your eyes and you clench your teeth and you're just trying to make it. Sometimes you're ready to step out into it. Sometimes you sink and sometimes you stay bone dry. Sometimes you doubt and sometimes you glorify God for all God is doing and for the miracles you see in front of you. Sometimes you feel like you can take the whole storm on, and sometimes you are one of very little faith, if any. But the through line of both these stories and the through line of both of these storms is this: wherever you are, however you are in the storm, you are not alone. You're not alone. God is with us. Jesus may not be acting the way we want Jesus to act. Jesus may not be coming into the scene the way we expect Jesus to come in, but God is with us. There is someone stronger than any storm, and that someone is with us, and that someone's posture towards us always remains the same. Right? However scared, however immobilized, however doubtful we might be, however soaked from head to toe and scared and shivering we might be, however faithless we might feel, no matter how quickly we might feel like we're slipping under the waves, we are not alone. God is with us. God will always be with us. And God's posture towards us is always the same. Even at our most faithless, God's hand is there. As the song I tried to play here in the beginning, hopefully it worked, "Love Lifted Me," right? I love the lyrics of that song. God's posture towards us is always the same. Don't be afraid. I'm with you. I'm bigger than the storm. You may only have a fraction of faith right now. But in God's economy, in the kingdom of heaven, that fraction of faith is it's the material of miracles. It moves mountains, right? And that to me felt like the message this week. I probably don't have to remind you that storms are coming, but I do feel like I needed to remind you that you're not alone. That however faithless you may feel, God is with you. Your brothers and sisters are with you in the boat. God is with you, and God's posture towards us, even when we can't see him, even when it's hard to discern him, even when he's not acting the way we want him to, God's posture towards us is the same. It's one of salvation. It's one of redemption. It's one of it's a helping hand pulling us up and pulling us out to safety. For there is someone that is bigger than whatever storm we're facing. And even the smallest amount of faith in that matters. As I was thinking through all these things, I was considering one of my favorite Old Testament passages, and this passage has been in my head a lot this week. And so I want to close just by reading this. And it's out of Isaiah 43, and its verses basically 1-7. And I would read this out of a more traditional version, but I actually looked up the way the Message, Eugene Peterson, way he translated it, and I just kind of liked the way it flowed. So let me close with this. Isaiah 43, 1-7 from the Message translation. "But now, God's message. The God who made you in the first place, Jacob, the one who got you started, Israel. Don't be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called your name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in the rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, because I am God, your personal God, the Holy of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt, with rich Cush and Seba thrown in. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'd sell off the world to get you back. I'd trade creation just for you. So don't be afraid. I am with you." Thank you so much for joining us. If you're part of the Ecclesia group, we'll be starting our Zoom call here pretty soon, about 5:30 usually. Please jump on with that. If you need anything from us, don't hesitate to reach out. But know, in the midst of the storm, you are not alone. Peace be with you.